guys. Good evening. How's everybody doing? Good. Glad to see each and every one of you here. You know, it's a good day when you can come to the house of the Lord and fellowship with His people, right? Amen. Y'all can do better than that. Come on, wake up. Wake up. Amen. It's a good day. We're here together, and we're praising for the purpose of praising the greatest God that we could ever. That song that we played at the offering, I've been playing that the last couple days because Jesus loves us because He loves us because He loves us. I mean, that's awesome. That's the greatest thing. Just because He loves us, just because. And that's the greatest promise that we can ever have, is I love you just because. Not for what we can give to Him or for what we can do, or not for our talents or anything that we have within us. God loves us just because He loves us. And that's awesome. You know, and as I prepare for to bring the word, you know, I was looking in Numbers, the book of Numbers. If anybody, a lot of times we spend a lot of time at the end of the Bible in the New Testament, but there's some really great things in the Old Testament, you know, just about how things came about. The children of Israel, how they got to where they were going. And it's so great because there's so many parallels for between their story and our story as Christians. There's so many things that they went through that the Bible talks about, and there's so many things that fall in line with so many things that happen to us and things that we experience. So if you don't spend any time in the Old Testament, you're robbing yourself, because there's some really great things in there. And as I was studying the children of Israel, especially in the book of Numbers and chapter 13 and 14, it was all about the book of Numbers is about the children of Israel, and they were in bondage, and God delivered them from Egypt, and He's taking them to the promised land. Okay, so they got to go from Egypt to Israel. And if you've ever looked at a map, they're not that far apart. I mean, realistically, you could walk from where they were in Egypt to where they ended up in Israel in a couple weeks, like 3-4 weeks. Realistically, a person could do that. But it took these people 40 years to go that short of a distance. It took them 40 years of a journey to get the promises that God had for them. He promised them years and years ago. They were looking for a promise, but it took them 40 years to obtain it. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, why? Why did it take them so long to go such a short distance? That's the question we're going to talk about. Why did it take them so long to go so short of a time, of a distance? And it talks about in there, because they were rebellious. They were, you know, God delivered them, pulled them out of Egypt, and the very first thing that they did was complain. You know anybody like that? Amen. You ever been that way? Amen. 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 I've been there. You know, you pray for God to show up, and He does, and then you just go right back to complaining, like just right back to where you were. See, that's what I said. Their story parallels our story. But see, they did this, and God told them, you know, that they went in Numbers 13. They got halfway to the promised land, and Moses sent spies ahead to look at the land. They could see the promised land. They knew where their promise was, so He sent people ahead to look at it, to see what God had for them. And they came back complaining in Numbers 13. So in Numbers 14, God's response to them is, look, you guys spent 40 days looking there. There was 12 of you. Two of you came back and said, let's do this. God's on our side. 10 of you came back and said, we can't do this. No, that's too great of an obstacle for us to obtain. We can't do this. See, and he says, you guys spent 40 days looking at this thing. You are now going to spend 1 year for every day in the desert. So for 40 days, they looked at the promise, said, I can't get that promise. So God said, as punishment, you're going to wait 40 years to obtain what I've told you that I've got for you. You're going to wait because you didn't have the faith to go forward, and all you did was want to complain. I'm going to hold that back from you. And it says in there, until this generation of the men of war, these people, until they're all gone, you are not going to get what I have for you. You are not going to see the things that I have for you until all of those people are dead. Till those things in your life, the rebellion that you have is gone. See, over in Ezekiel 20, God's talking, and he says these words. He's talking to the prophet Ezekiel, and he says in Ezekiel 20 and 10, he says, so I brought them out of Egypt, and I led them into the wilderness. There I gave them my decrees and my regulations so that they could find life by keeping them. And I gave them my Sabbath days of rest as a sign between them and me. It was to remind them that I am the Lord who has set them apart to be holy. See, he's saying, I brought them out of Egypt. See, God's summing it all up here. He's saying, I brought them out of Egypt, gave them life. See, that's the same thing that God does with us. He brings us out of Egypt, out of our bondage, out of our slave to our physical nature. He brings us out of it and says, I'm going to give you life, follow these rules, you're going to get life. But, he says, I gave them the Sabbath as a sign between them and me, and it was to remind them that I am the Lord who has set them apart to be holy. See, he pulled them and set them apart to be holy, just like he sets us apart to be holy. When he saves us and he gives us life, he sets us apart for a purpose. See, he did that for them. Our lives parallel that. He's doing the same things in our life. So he sets them apart. In verse 13 it says, but the people of Israel rebelled against me and they refused to obey my decrees there in the wilderness. They wouldn't obey my regulations even though obedience would have given them life. They argued with God even though he was the source of life. Even though his words was the life that they're seeking, that they need, they continued to argue with him. How many times do we do that in our own life? How many times have we done that if we're honest truly with ourselves? And God's saying, here's life. I'm giving you the best, but we throw it away because we know better. Because of our rebellion, because I'm grown. I've heard that a lot. I'm grown. I do what I want. I do what I want. We say that around my house sometimes, making fun of folks. I'm just laying it out there. We're making fun of folks. Because that is the dumbest thing that you can say. Say, I'm grown. I do what I want. No, you're stupid. Stop it. Stop. But he says, but the people of Israel rebelled against me and they refused to obey. They violated my Sabbath days, so I threatened to pour out my fury on them, and I made plans to utterly consume them in the wilderness. But I held back in order to protect the honor of my name before the nations who had seen my power in bringing Israel out of Egypt. See, they're rebelling, and God wants to just be done with them and smite them. But he says, get there. Those words that he says, but I held back. That's what God does for us when we're in that rebellion. When we're saying, I can do it all on my own. He's saying, I really want to whip you. I really want to whip you. I say that to my kids sometimes. I really want to whip you, but I'm going to give you a little grace today. I'm going to hold back so you can see the power of my name, so you can see the power that is within me as God Almighty. In Ezekiel 20 and 15, it says, "But I took a solemn oath against them in the wilderness. I swore that I would not bring them into the land I had given them, a land flowing with milk and honey, the most beautiful place on earth." He said, as long as your rebellion is present, as long as the junk is present in your life, I'm not going to give you the full promises that I have for you. Get that. As long as we can say, I can do it all on my own, God says, no, I have all of this stored up for you. I have blessings for you. I want to take care of you, but I'm not going to give that. I'm not going to reward rebellion. See, the parallels with my own kids when they're acting retarded like they was earlier, I ain't going to reward that. We ain't going to Walmart to buy a present. We may go to Walmart to buy a new belt. Just saying. Just like my mama used to do. We used to go to the store. We would go straight to the men's section. She'd get a belt and carry it around with us. The whole time. The whole time. And then we would get to the checkout. She'd hand it to the checkout girl and say, "We don't need this anymore. Can you put this back?" See, that's God. He said, "Hey, you know what? I could whip you right here, right now. I could smite you and grind you into the dust that you came from, but I'm going to hold back. I'm not going to give you all of the blessings. I still love you. I still care for you, but I'm not going to give you all the blessings because you're an idiot. You're making bad choices." You know, like the saying goes, everything happens for a reason, and many times that reason is you're stupid and you make bad decisions. That's one of my favorite quotes. I don't know who said it, but I love it. If Kelly would let me just paint that on the wall at the house with the little vinyl machine thing and just poster it on there, I would have that in every single room. Everything happens for a reason, and many times it's because you're stupid and you make bad decisions. I think we need to make a t-shirt and just have Parish Christian Center on the back. There you go. Leave it to Brother Sam to come up with the next business venture right there. I like that. I like it, brother. I like it. But he's saying, back to the word here. He's saying, I took a solemn oath. I'm not going to give you the land of promise. In verse 16 it says, "For they rejected my regulations, refused to follow my decrees, and violated my Sabbath days. Their hearts were given to their idols." See, as long as they were in rebellion and disobedience, and they had junk in their lives, they could never enter in the full promises of God. Over in Deuteronomy 2, and it's 16, I think, over there, it talks about this, you know, you cannot enter the land of promise until this generation passes away, until you get all this junk out of your life. Now, see, they were going through a wilderness. They were going, so God took them into the wilderness, into hard times. He led them through things. And they experienced many things. But the wilderness had a purpose. Get that, okay? When you go through things, when you're in the wilderness of your life, when you're feeling all alone, there's a purpose for that. There's a just like there was a purpose for their wilderness, it was a time to get rid of the things and the traits and the junk that was gunking up their lives and hindering them from their promised land. See, just like going through 40 years of that wilderness, it's the same thing with us. The wilderness in our life has a purpose. Because there's some things in our lives that don't need to be there. There's junk in our life that doesn't need to be there. There's patterns in our lives that don't need to be there. If we ever want to get where we need to be with God, there's patterns, there's things. People are predictable. People are predictable, are mostly predictable. See, a lot of people have patterns, destructive patterns, that they repeat over and over and over. And you know some of the biggest areas that we have the worst patterns in? Money and relationships. See, we have the biggest patterns. People do the same things over and over in their lives, repeat the same mistakes, and then they wonder, why am I no further down the road? Why am I not obtaining the promised land that God has for me? See, another quote. Several people have been quoted to of saying this, but so I'm not really sure who was the first one. But it gets attributed to Albert Einstein all the time. I don't know if he actually said it, but what is it? Insanity is doing what? Repeating the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. There's so many insane people. There's so many insane Christians. We do the same patterns over and over. We have the same terrible use of money. We have the same terrible relationships. We jump from one thing to the next without ever figuring out, why did I go through this? Did I cause this? Is there something that I should have done different? No, we just keep on trucking. Keep on trucking and go to the next thing. Because if you never stop and slow down and figure out what the problem was, figure out where you got off, you're never going to get it corrected. So many times we spend years of our lives repeating the same things, the same mistakes. We continue to wonder why God doesn't fully show up in our lives. We wonder. Well, baby, stop wondering. The problem is you. You know when you break up with somebody and you're like, hey, it's not me, it's you? Yeah. It's you, honey. You're screwing up. Stop it. Figure out your pattern and correct it. Figure out the problem and correct it. Like I tell Carson all the time, when I get on to him, he says, I'm sorry. That's great. Be sorry, but be different. So many times we get the sorry part right. You know, we come and we snot and boo-hoo at the altar. Or, you know, we put on the praise worship music. Oh, Jesus, I need you to show up. And God shows up and we go right back doing what we was doing. God wants us to be sorry, but act different. Stop repeating the same pattern over and over and over and expect a different result. Stop it. See, life takes an honest assessment. See, it's so easy to point out other people's faults. It's so easy to offer other people advice. Have you ever found that? You can see everybody else's problem. You see everybody's problem. And you can tell them exactly how to fix it. And you want to shake them because they won't listen to you. But then you're doing the same thing. You're going through similar things. Or sometimes, you know, that's the thing. When the Bible tells us to, instead of worrying about the speck in your brother's eye, worry about the log in yours. That means pull the junk out of your life before you worry about somebody else's. I feel like there's a lot of people that need to hear that. You know? I feel like you just need to take a bullhorn out there and say, stop worrying about everybody else. Worry about you. Fix you. You know? See, in Colossians 3 and 5, it says this. Now look, just like those people and the children of Israel had to die before they could reach the promised land, that generation had to pass away. In Colossians 3 and 5, it says this. Actually, hold on. Yeah, Colossians 3 and 5, it says, so put to death, kill these things in your life. It says, put to death sinful earthly things lurking within you. There's some things in our lives that need to die. Did y'all get that? There's things in our lives, no matter how well you think you're put together, there's things in your life that needs to die if you want to get anywhere with God. I don't know what your thing is. You know how to find out? Ask God and listen. See, because I can point out your problems, but you got to figure it out. You have to figure it out. It takes an honest assessment of your life. And so many people are scared to do that, to honestly look at their lives and say, I messed up. How do me and God fix it? How does God fix it? Don't be scared to say, I messed up. Because there's a person that is dear to my life that messed up, and they looked me in my eye and they said, I messed up. Own it, baby. And that was the greatest thing. I've had so much respect for that person because they realized where they missed it. And you know what they did? They fixed it. They moved back into the things of God. They fixed it. They were sorry. And then they did something about it. And they acted different. Notice how that works. Notice how that works. But it says, Colossians 3 and 5, it says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. It says, get all of this crap out of your life. Get the junk out of your life. Because the minute you put that stuff to death, you rip it out of your life, you're going to find God. And you're going to find him in a greater level than you've ever seen him before. Because when you get the junk out, all you see is him. Verse 6, it says, because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of the world, but now is the time to get rid. Now is the time to get rid. Now, if you've got a problem, fix it. It's not a diet. You don't start it on Monday. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever done that. You ever do that? You'd be like, oh, I'm going to change my life tomorrow. Or you're laying up in bed and you think of all the things that you need to do and you're solving all the world's problems. And then the next day comes and nothing happens. See, it's saying right here, don't wait. Now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Now is the time. Verse 10, it says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Get rid of the junk so you can move into the fullness that God has. That's what He wants us to do. Stop repeating the same mistakes. And let your wilderness have a purpose. The things you're going through, even if you cause them yourself, God can still use them for His glory. God can still use them to teach you something. There's always a lesson to be learned. Here's the thing. We're talking about putting these things to death, ripping these things out of our lives. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you. The wilderness has a purpose. But the wilderness can hurt. When you're pulling these things out of your life, it hurts. It hurts. Get that. As you cut things out of you, you will feel a loss. There will be a death. You will have to grieve over certain things that you've gone through. Don't neglect the grieving process. Let God heal you. Don't put a Band-Aid on it and call it good. Let God truly reach down and heal you, because part of you is gone. When these things start coming out of your life and you're asking God, remove these things that I'm, all this junk in my life, there's going to be pieces of you that are missing. There's pieces of you that will be gone. But that's a good thing. Because when there's less of you, there's more room for God to work in your life. When there's less of you, when part of you is gone, you can replace the missing part with God. In Galatians 2 and 20, it says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. All that junk, I nailed it to the cross with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. When you experience that loss and you pull those things out, there's less of you, but more room for God to work in your life. Don't neglect that. Don't neglect the pain. Nobody likes pain. Nobody wants to go through pain. But pain brings healing. Pain brings healing. Replace the missing parts with God, not with more junk. Don't trade one bad pattern for another. Don't trade one bad thing for another bad thing. Get that. Galatians 5 and 24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified him there. What are the things that need to die? See, that's the recurring question. What are the things in your life that need to die? What do you need to nail to the cross and leave there? Ask yourself that question. What do I need to get rid of? Because in Deuteronomy 2 and 13, it says, when the generation of the men of war died, when the generation of the men of war died, they were able to move forward. See, and it says, the Lord struck them down until they had been eliminated from the community, talking about those people. When all of the men of fighting age, that's the New Living Translation, but in the King James, it says, when all of the men of war, all the rebellion, all of the junk died out in their lives, the Lord said, today, you will cross the border into Moab. Today, when you take and you decide, I'm going to put these things to death, and I'm going to move forward in the things of Christ, the answer of God is, today, you will move forward. That's what I want to challenge you with, is answer that question in your life. What is hindering me? What is keeping me, not anyone else, but what is keeping me from being all that I can be in the Lord? What is keeping you? Why are you still in the wilderness? Do you want to go 40 years or do you want to go 3 weeks? See, don't. I want to encourage you. Don't spend an entire lifetime wasted in doing the same thing over and over and miss all that God has for you. All that God has for your life. Don't miss it. Don't be afraid to ask the question, what do I need to die? What needs to die in my life? Because I'm tired of the same pattern over and over and over. It's a hard challenge. But you know what? Each and every one of you are up to it. You can do it. We can succeed in Christ together. Let us go forward together. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for today. I thank you for each and every person that is here tonight. And Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to not be afraid to ask that question. What needs to die in our life? Lord, help us to understand and to move towards you and to stop repeating the same pattern over and over. Lord, we need more of you. We live in a lost and dying world, and the only way we're going to reach it is if we get out of our own way and be a light to those around us and to fully realize all that you have for us. We give you all the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.